Seated. That song must have been written by a hillbilly to say yonder. Brother Scott was telling me this morning, he said, first thing he could think of after last week's lesson was the hillbilly bears. Now, I've had a lot of comments saying after my lessons, people were challenged, but I never had heard anything about the first thing I could remember was the hillbilly bear. Anybody ever seen the hillbilly bear? Okay. Well, Blanche is the only one back there. I guess. Did you guys watch that in your childhood? Okay. All right. I remember the name of it. I can't remember it. But supposedly, the hillbilly bears murmured or muddled, or you couldn't understand what they were saying and just kind of made some noise that way and kind of went along with the murmuring of last week of the children of Israel. Now, the sad part is that the hillbilly bears, it might be a little bit fun to listen to them murmur and kind of just moan around and groan around. It's not quite so pleasing to God when his children do it. And so we're gonna actually do part two of part one, and of a lesson that I think all of us, again, I don't know about you, some people don't like to be challenged. I don't think there's any growth without it. I mean, if God, all he did was just put a pacifier in our mouth, we would stay babes in Christ. But somewhere along the line, we have to take the pacifier out and need to grow on to from milk to meat. And realizing that we've got maybe different levels and different age levels spiritually here, but to actually come to understanding that we are called for a purpose. As individuals, to hear the voice of God calling us back into a relationship with him because sin has separated us from him. He created us in his own image, and he's calling us back to his image. And when we hear the call, and we want to answer the call, then we go to God's Word to find out what kind of journey or what kind of path or what are the things that I need to learn how to become in order to get back to his image. Then when I'm hearing that call and I'm answering that call, then I can call myself church. Church is not a place. It's a people. And it's a group of people who hear the call of God back to his image. And will accept the challenge to grow back there. Now, what's so great is God said, I'm not going to leave you without a model. I'm a spiritual being, so for you to relate to me, there's so many things about God and so many ways about God I just don't understand and I can't really get a grip on. So he sends Jesus to fulfill the prophecies so that people can believe in him. But in the commands of God in the Old Testament, it's got the same principles and purposes all wrapped up into the life of Jesus Christ. I remember so many times I hear people saying, look, I know it's the Old Covenant. I know it's the Old Testament. But we've got to realize that the same commands that are in the Old Testament are shown and fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And so we can look at the Old Testament and see how Jesus came and fulfilled them. One of the greatest studies that you could probably do is go and really, really study out the Ten Commandments and then go look in the Gospels and jot down how Jesus fulfilled them. And how he lived them. and how it wasn't this just outward appearance of them, it was an inward being of who he was and is to come. Because as we, as disciples, when we make a decision, I'm going to follow him. I want to learn from him because his words are useful. They can teach me. They're also going to correct me, challenge me. They're also going to, rebuking comes before correcting, so you're going to get rebuked. Because any time of my sinful nature stands before the mirror and hears Jesus, who had no sin, I'm going to be rebuked. But God's rebuking is not to harm me, it's to prosper me. It's to draw me back to his image, the purpose that we had been called. He'll correct me. He'll train me in order to show his type of righteousness among the people that I come in contact with and have a relationship with. Now, you might think that's a fairy tale story, but I believe if we hear the call of God. Now, what do you say about my mistakes, Kevin? As from a baby, babies make mistakes. I understand that. When you come up out of the water of understanding that you've been called by God to go back to his image, but you got to get the sins taken care of some way, and Jesus did it on the cross and in the grave and the power of his resurrection to draw me back to his image. Now, if you question, can really God draw humans back to the way he created them? If you question that, doubt it, don't believe it, then you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's still in the tomb in your heart. But he didn't stay in the tomb, so he has this power to draw me back. But we got to understand we're called. So here's the notes I want you to take. The notes are C2C. Called to commit to Christ. And somewhere down the line, if you keep on coming and sitting in these types of seating arrangements, hopefully for the past 9.5 years, you've heard lessons, at least coming from my heart, that we can't sit here. We are called for a purpose. Now, I don't know where we're at. Are we maturer than we were 9.5 years ago? It can be a roller coaster ride. It really depends on if we hear the call, and it really depends on the people. You know, I keep trying to tell people. People say, well, has Hickory grown since you've been there? And I said, well, in what manner are you saying that? You know, for one thing, the world, I understand, totally looks at a congregation and how well a preacher does by the numbers. Yeah, I totally understand that. I have to make a decision in my heart, have I given it the best effort I could ever give? I'm not the one that changes hearts. I'm the one that plants the seed. You decide which kind of heart that you have, and then God adds increase. And I just want to be closer to God with you on three areas that we've talked about. I want to be closer to God in an upward relationship with him, where you're gaining a closer and closer personal, intimate relationship with God. God's going to say to us when that happens, the way that I can mold you and rebuke you and train you is start with each other, living out these relationship commandments that I give you to represent who I am. I don't know about you. Maybe we need to spend a lot more time in those kind of commandments. Because without knowing what they are, we don't know who to become. Then in those commandments, we go together and we feel so close-knit with each other, it doesn't bother us to go out and share Jesus Christ with other people because I've got a good group that I lean on when I do. Because they're there by my side. They're right there with me. You know, I always try to tell people, look, if you can't talk to people, invite me to come and meet the people that you can't talk to, and I'll do the talking for you. I just need you there. Help me get to know them. Let's love their soul enough that if we realize they don't have Jesus in their life and they haven't been called to the purpose, they could be lost without him. And I would hate to see this person go to judgment day without Jesus in their life. I mean, to actually love people that much. We talked in class this morning about all types of greed and how greed will just eat you alive. I tell you, greed will get your eyes off of lost people. Because you'll be greedy with your time. Not about money. It's just greedy with your time. Is your time all about me? Or is it about the purposes that God's calling me to be? Now, we can make this fun, because I it's almost like I'm looking at stunned people. What? We can make this fun. I think God intended it to be fun. If you don't think Jesus kind of chuckled around with his apostles that time, yeah, there were some times he turned and said, oh, good night. Haven't I taught you anything? Oh, no. All that time wasted? Woo, boy. Oh, I love them anyways, God. These are the ones that you gave me, and I'm going to stick with them. Oh, is your face so dull? Haven't you got it yet? I mean, you can just see these conversations that Jesus was having with his disciples. And you can see the disciples kind of just murmuring around and talking around, and they wanted to know who was going to be greater than the other, and then they got mad at each other and all that. Doesn't that sound like us? It just sounds like us. But there came a day, I think they heard the call. I believe disciples who hear the call, this is my belief, will look like the people in Acts chapter 2. I really do. If we don't look like Acts chapter 2, we need to reassure each other and encourage each other and build one another up that there is a higher purpose that we've been called to. Now, that's not trying to stomp us down. We got enough discouragement. Agree with that? And I tell you, life will take it out of you. That's why the people of God need to bond together to the point where, you know what Satan's goal is? All he wants the Hickory Church of Christ to do is to be a discouragement to each other. Because if he could just get you to be a discouragement to each other, he's got you right where he wants you, idle and don't want to be with each other. That's where he wants us. But somehow we got to figure this thing out. We maybe do too many churchy things and are not being the church enough. We need to figure that out. Because we're called to a purpose on a daily basis to live that out. And please, and I will defend myself. I have to, or I'm just about to the point where you kind of feel like I have to cry out, or you could wear yourself out to death. I didn't hear the call of Jesus to say, Kevin, do the ministry for every person that is a member of the Hickory Church of Christ. I never heard a voice of God saying that. I heard from Scripture a voice saying, Kevin, prepare the people that come and form the Hickory Church for their own works of service as they follow my son. Get them prepared. Get them out there. Get them working. And boy, that's sometimes tough because it seems like sometimes, have you ever saw people just so miserable to the point where you felt like they just went to the dentist's office and he didn't put any kind of numbing on? You know, you walk out of there just so screeched and so terrified. In Numbers chapter 14, that's where I want to pick up in part two of part one. Numbers chapter 14. Last week we looked at the children of Israel. I mean, these are God's children. They cried out to God in a relationship with him. They cried out to him saying that they were miserable in their captivity by the Egyptians. So God called a leader. God sent a leader. The leader had all the excuses in the world not to go because he didn't think that the Pharaoh is going to listen to him. And even if he convinced Pharaoh, I don't even know if the children of Israel is going to listen to me. God just says, well, go, and I'm going to send another person with you because you say you can't speak. Well, then I'm going to send somebody who can speak. Remember Moses and Aaron? That's why if you're called to go talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, ask Aaron to come along with you. And there's some Aarons in this place. They'll do the talking. But Moses accepted the call. He went. Then they come out into the wilderness. God provided for them this long journey, gave them their food, gave them their water, all that, while they were murmuring and complaining, why did you drag us out here in order just to be killed? Now, one thing I forgot in conversation last week, totally forgot about this. Do you remember God actually wanted to destroy them and start all over? What kind of a loving God do we serve? He said, they're not listening to me. I'll just start all over with another group. The children of Israel ought to have been so thankful and encouraging to Moses. Because Moses, in his discussion with God, said, if you do that, what's the Egyptians going to say? Then there's not going to be any Egyptians that would ever come to believe in you because the story's going to go rampant that all you do is lead your people to kill them. And God is kind of like, I understand. I'll stick with them. Sadly enough, before they could move, there had to be a lot of funerals. But there were two men that went over into the land that God had promised the children and said, we can do this. We can do it. Yes, they're giants. Yes, they're big people. But I tell you, their safety has been brought down. And we can take them. We can conquer them. But the fear of the people was so much that they decided, instead of listening to Joshua and Caleb and the report, they wanted to kill them. Because Caleb stood up and said, look, this land is flowing with milk and honey, and God will give it to us if we want to please him and not rebel. He'll give that to us. Now, I just want to get back into using the illustration. There's a lot of promises that God gives in Scripture, and I think we need to revisit what those promises are. But I really believe that you're going to find out a lot of them have to be because of His image. And He's trying to call us back to His image so that you can dwell in those promises. Now, let's just say for a minute that the land that God wants to give you and I today, the promised land, is a relationship with Him in the way He created us to be in His image. That's the promised land. It's flowing with milk and honey, and it's sweet as can be. But you and I have got some giants that we're going to have to face. We got sin, the biggest giant of them all, and then we can go down in just those other little things that you got to figure out what they are. Am I idle with my time? Am I greedy with my time? Do I have a heart for God? Do I have a heart for God's purposes? I mean, you can keep on going down through there and ask yourself a lot of questions. But are we hearing the call to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ? He's going to lead us back to His image. If we just want to please Him, He will lead us. Now, what was different about, this is in your fill in the notes, what's different about Caleb? What was the difference in him? This is in verse 24. This is Numbers 14. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb was a leader, and maybe this is just a discussion right now because this is the ones that stepped into this realm. But maybe Tim and Purcell and I need to sit and talk and look at Caleb as a leader, because actually what really made him to where God would say, I'm going to give him that land? He had a different spirit, and he wholeheartedly kept the commandments of God. Now, I truly believe that when leaders lead, the people start following, and what develops in the people is a different spirit and a heart that wants to follow His commands wholeheartedly. Or has the world convinced us of what spirit to have? Or has religion formed a different Jesus to where we pacify ourselves when teachings get tough? Richard just got done teaching classes on hard scriptures to hear Jesus teach. I wonder how we feel when Jesus talks really direct and hard. I think sometimes, Kevin, what he wants to do is put me back in my crib and give me my pacifier. And he says, no, Kevin, you once were born, and that's the way you were. But now you should be adults by now. You shouldn't still be dwelling in the crib. Now, all of us have to ask, and this is a loving challenge, are you still in the crib, or are you growing? Are you still wanting the pacifier, or are you wanting more solid food? I don't know about you, I don't remember when I was a baby, but do you ever watch babies sit around the plate or around the table? Like, you got them in a high chair and they're next. They don't want the food you put on their tray, right? Which food do they want? They want to eat what you're eating. And you say, oh, no, it's not ready for that. Your stomach's not ready for that. Well, we understand that, okay? Digestive systems have to grow and get ready for the food. But as they grow, they can eat more adult food. And that's the way we should understand spiritually. Now, here's where I want you to realize on this. We need different spirits, and we need to have a heart that wants to follow God's commands completely. That's what's going to lead us into a promised land, into the image of God, and be effective in our relationship with Him, with each other, and reaching out to a lost and dying world. I'm just going to have you jot this down because this is in your notes. I'm going to give you the answers to them. But I want you to go home and study 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 2 through 10. The teen talks, the teens that I had a couple of weeks ago in teen talk, we discussed about these verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, where David was teaching Solomon some things. And in that, he was teaching his son Solomon, because David had the plan. He wanted to build the temple. He wanted to make a place for the Ark of the Covenant to rest. Okay? But God told him, you're not going to be the one. Actually, it's going to be Solomon. Okay? Now, with that, watch this. This is what David taught Solomon. There's 5 points that he taught him. Just in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, you can go home and find these out. First of all, the first thing is, Solomon, as your father, I ask you to obey all of God's commands. Not half of them, not the ones that you would like to choose that's easy for you to do and skip the hard ones. You follow all of them. Number two, I want you to serve God with all your heart and be devoted to Him. A wholehearted devotion. Number three, now get this. I used to think that you could do the first two without the third one. Found out you can do it for a while and then it stops. Number three, David taught Solomon to have a willing mind. Remember when we talked about mindset? It's all about our mindset. I used to think that you could follow the commands of God and have a devoted life to God, but yet not really a willing mind. Found out that that will last a very short time and you'll quit. If you're not willingly wanting to obey, you won't. You just won't. I won't. David teaches Solomon, number four, to seek God. And then David teaches Solomon to be strong and do the work. Do the work. Real quick, I'm going to give you 3 points in the lesson, George. Run to the book of Romans. How can I create a different mindset than I already have if I need one? If I'm somebody that doesn't really look at God's commands or starve at God's commands and really have it in my heart a willingness to obey everything that He commanded me to do, I'm not seeking God on a regular basis. My prayer life is just wavering. And again, all those together, it's not about a checklist type of relationship. It's about a willingness to understand that God's calling you back to have a relationship with Him so He can teach you how to have a relationship with other believers, and then other believers how to have a relationship with people who do not have Him. It's all a relational thing. So how do I develop a relational mindset, a different mindset? Remember, Caleb had a different spirit. So how is that developed? Romans 8, verse 28 through 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among my brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. And it's a process there. So how do I develop a different spirit, a different mindset. Make it my goal to answer the call to be conformed to God's purposes. He has a purpose for me. It's found in Jesus. And we need to be coming, desiring to become more like Jesus with the best effort we could ever put forth. Now, what if I don't make it to where I'm completely? That's why grace and mercy is so wonderful. See, grace and mercy is not meant to be, okay, I'll just live the life I want to, and then grace and mercy will cover what's left over on Judgment Day. I should never have the mindset of that. Grace and mercy should be my launching point to become more like Jesus. God didn't have to forgive me. Did he have to forgive you? Oh, well, better forgive him. He wanted to, because he wanted you to have a relationship with him. Number two, Romans 12. Boy, this is becoming one of my favorite, what I guess once misunderstood, spirituality in my life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Oh, boy, when that finally sunk in, I quit going to church and started to become the church. I see God's mercy. Now I just want to offer myself as a sacrifice to God. Whatever you command me to do. And in that, I'll learn how to love the way he loves. I'll learn how to serve the way he serves. I'll learn how to encourage other people. I'll learn how to love lost people. That is my true and proper worship. Now, I just got to ask you a real quick question. Can you see the difference between this true and proper worship than worship services? Remember last week I was challenged by the book called New Day? You can't find in Scripture worship services. What you do find is that your true and proper worship is to offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. Then you worship. Nowhere do I find in Scriptures either that worship is a set of five acts that I was told that was worship. I can't find it. I did find out that God wants to have a prayerful relationship with me, and I can pray at any moment without ceasing. I don't have to go to a certain place anymore. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. I don't have to go to a certain person anymore. I can go through Jesus Christ anytime I want to, and I can pray all day long if I want to. Found out that when I'm happy, sing. I don't know, have you ever thought, why do you sing in the tub or in the shower? I don't know, it's because you just feel refreshed. But when you're doing, you sing. When you're happy, you sing. I don't see very many depressed people in the world singing. That's why I love going to a gathering of people who the purpose for singing is because they're happy children. Not because it's an act of worship. They're happy. And they got smiles on their face. Why? Because I'm a sinner that's been saved by grace. Oh, we love being together. I got that stunned look again. Matthew chapter 5, 30. Let your light... Chapter 5, verses 10 through 16. How do I have a different mindset? Let your light shine before people not for you to be seen, so that others can see Christ in you. That's who you want to give glory to. You want, ultimately, God to get the glory for everything that you do. You don't go and serve other people's needs because you're great. You go and serve other people's needs because God's great. And that's why you want to do it. Whew. Challenged? Boy, my preacher went on a tantrum today, didn't he? Just like I said last week, I need what I'm saying to you. I have a feeling I'm looking at a room full of people that need it too. Rebuking is not hate. I pray that rebuking is love. And the way to correct it is to wholeheartedly want to follow Jesus back to the image of God. God will take care of the rest. His gentle voice. Kevin might have not had one this morning, but Jesus has one. And he's calling. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sometimes we just need to get refocused. Zero back in on really what do we exist for? Do we have a purpose in life? Are we hearing your voice, or have we heard a religious voice? Have we heard teaching by men? Or have we gone home and studied scriptures to find out if it just matches your spirit and your commands? And if we have done that, and we've relied on other things, we relied on maybe even a church system, and we even slapped the name of your son on a billboard. Father, I pray that we can be people who desire to repent where we need to, and sing because we're happy, and pray because we want to have a relationship with you, and remember the love that you have for us by remembering the death, burial, and the resurrection. Ooh, there's a lot of emotion in that. I thank you for the people's time. I pray that they will leave here not greedy with their time. That this is no other place they'd rather be than to be together and open up your word and to remember and to hear your voice. Now we're going to hear the voice of a gentle Savior pleading and calling us to come and follow him. Now pray if anybody here who needs to respond and answer that voice will do that. And so we pray this through his name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and say together, amen. Let's stand and sing a song. Our